Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 186 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I have 3 special guests. They are members of one family. I have Claire and her parents, Anne and Mike Esposette. The Esposettes live in Ames, Iowa. Claire is a buyer for an e-commerce retailer. Anne is a former teacher, and she's a tutor for kids who suffer from dyslexia. And Mike is a construction company executive. So welcome, Claire and Mike. I'm so glad to have y'all all here.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Yes. I'm fangirling over here.
Oh.
We're big fans of the podcast.
Well, I'm so glad. I love doing the podcast. It's like, you know, I can have a busy day going on and I'm like, oh, now I get to just talk to people. And that's my favorite thing to do. So, you know, I like to start by asking what brought you to intermittent fasting. And I have a feeling there's going to be one of you who came up with this first. Am I right?
Yes. I would say the main person is going to be Mike, but I was
Mike got y'all into it.
Yeah. So our son, Claire's older brother, and our son and his wife are very into fitness. They're vegan. They study a lot of different fitness regimens, and they actually introduced us to this whole concept of intermittent fasting in probably the summer of 2019. So we learned about it, and it was sufficiently interesting. And of course, we thought there's no way we could do that. And then in the December of 2019, I had come back from a meeting from a company in Virginia, and it felt like all I did was eat for 3 days. And I came home and I said, man, I got to do something differently. And we went to a party that night, ran into a friend and his wife that were doing intermittent fasting. And that's really all it took to say, you know what, tomorrow I'll start this and see how it goes. So it really started in December 2019.
Okay. So you were your son and his wife already doing it, or were they just talking about it when they mentioned it?
No, they were doing it.
Okay. So they were doing it.
They were doing it for just like health benefits, not weight loss. Yeah.
Well, that's a great reason to do it. I think, you know, that's, if you, I know you listen to the podcast, you know, that's why Chad's an intermittent faster. My husband, he started for the health benefits only, never needed to lose any weight. So I love that that's where they came into it from. And, you know, that was just the perfect timing, because I just got back from a conference. Y'all know this, we talked about it ahead of time, but we're recording. And, you know, I was in a different time zone and I never knew what food would be available. So I actually had two meals a day, a few days of the conference, and then I was just like so full. It was more than I'm used to eating. And I'm still fasted, and it just feels, it's like, oh, my body's like, thank goodness, right?
Yes. It's a relief to go back to it after not doing it for a couple of days.
Absolutely. So, Mike, you were ready to get started after going to that party. And I guess, was Anne there at the party with you?
She was.
I was. And did they tell us about Jen's book?
Yeah.
So
our friend said, hey, two resources. One, Jen Stevens' Delay, Don't Deny. Pick that up. And then you can watch a podcast and get Jason Fung's book, or watch a YouTube video and get Jason's book. So I did that over the course of December. And you know, it's so easy to get your mind around, hey, just don't eat until you eat. I started that next day.
And so, Anne, did you start right away as well?
Yes, but Mike and Claire don't have any moderation, and I do. So
tell me what you mean by that, that they don't have moderation and you do.
So Mike hopped in. I don't know what your time commitments were, but I mean, whenever he does something, it's just, it's all on.
Oh, I get it.
I've watched my weight my whole life, and I'm like, yeah, I'll still have that cookie, and then I'll work out a little harder. So yeah, maybe he started out with an 18-hour fast, and I probably started out with a 14-hour, because that's just how I am.
Yeah, you just wanted to ease in a little bit, because you were already kind of living more of a moderate life. Is that what you're saying? So you kind of eased in.
And it's just really how we're wired.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
I'm more extreme for sure.
I get it.
At the time, Claire was living in Michigan, and I think she noticed her dad's weight changes.
Yeah. I thought you were crazy. So they started in December. And I remember talking with you on the phone, Mom, and you had been out to lunch before an Iowa State basketball game with our aunt and uncle, and you're like, oh, it's just so weird. He didn't eat lunch, and we're all sitting around the table, like this thing he's doing. And I'm like, your husband is crazy. When I think he's being crazy, I call him your husband.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not her dad. It's not my dad, it's your husband. So, yeah, they were doing it. You were looking good, feeling good. And in February, we were going on a trip in March. So in February, I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to have to put on a swimsuit here in a month. So what can I do? You know, Weight Watchers, I've done Weight Watchers a couple of times. I've done beach body workouts, and they all last approximately 5 days.
Right. When I do them.
And so I was like, well, I might just ask my dad about this psycho thing he does.
Dad is not so crazy now, right, Claire? I know.
Now I'm like the fasting freak, probably.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
Yeah, she's a big fan.
Yeah. So I read the book, and I just started, just like my dad did, right away doing 24.
Okay.
We were fasting for our eating window, and kind of just never looked back. Like, I did that the first day, and I can probably tell you I've had lunch 10 times since February of 2020.
Wow. So you just, you know, you were just ready to go. You jumped right in, and your body adjusted really, really quickly, it sounds like.
Yeah, I was working. So I was living in Michigan at the time, and I was a store manager of a big department store. So I was super busy and on my feet all day, and not stopping for lunch was an easy adjustment. I love, love, love lunch food, but you know, it was easy to just be on my feet or go home and walk my dog and not eat lunch. It was just a very busy time. So it was easy to not worry about it, but I would still say it took 8 weeks to for it not to be hard.
For it to feel really good. Your body needed to adjust to that. Yeah, that makes sense. So, you know, a lot of times people will listen to the podcast and they're like, well, I just started at 24. And then they're like, well, then I started and it wasn't easy. What's wrong with me? But so it's important for us to let people know that, you know, that adjustment period is the hardest part for most of us, letting our bodies adjust. When you were starting, did you ever think you would do it forever?
I'm an extreme personality. So I was like, okay, well, this is it. This is just what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I didn't really, I guess I didn't, maybe not forever, but I knew that this is going to be more of a long-term solution than a short-term thing.
Right. That makes sense. So Anne, you were kind of easing in.
Oh yes. So I'm the prototype. I don't know. I've never been obese, but I've never been satisfied with my weight. Mm-hmm. But I probably have, you know, at most 10 to 15 to lose.
And when you started.
Yeah, that's just kind of, So, I'm always looking for that extra workout or that superfood. So, probably my biggest concern when I started was like, okay, is this going to mess up my metabolism? I'm already, you know, at the time I was 52 and I was like, I don't need anything working against me here.
So what did you find about that?
Well, so I made sure that I read your book. Mm-hmm. I skimmed through the other book. Is it
The Obesity Code?
Obesity Code. It was very science-y.
It is. Some people report that they retain that information from the Obesity Code better when they listen to it, like the audiobook. I'm just putting that out there for listeners, just FYI.
But I have to say, my exercise didn't change and the weight, you know, just, it was, for me, it was just those 8 to 10 pounds that had kind of crept on since I turned probably my late 40s. So I just stuck with it and felt good.
So what does your window look like now? I know you mentioned that you started at 14 and you're not as extreme as Claire and Mike. What does your window look like now?
I would say I'm pretty loyal to an 18-hour window now.
And to the 18-hour fast, 6-hour eating window?
Yes, I'm sorry, 18-hour.
Yeah, that's all right. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories.
Yeah. I'm the food prep lady in the house and we love food. So, I mean, we And I would say I eat healthier. Like I want to make sure if I'm not going to eat three meals that we get really good.
Oh yeah.
You know, really good nutrient dense food in that time. So
I eat
better than when I was spreading it out all day long.
You know, I mentioned that I had just been at a conference, and it was so interesting because it was a conference for healthcare practitioners of all types, right? And, you know, I'm obviously not a licensed healthcare person. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I don't have medical training. But, I mean, there were surgeons and OBGYNs and also nutritionists and health coaches and then people like me at this conference. And every person that I talked to, everybody's like, what do you do? What do you do? We were, you know, talking about that. And I said, intermittent fasting. And they all said, oh yeah, but what about women? And, you know, I explained over and over and over again that, you know, there seems to be this misconception for intermittent fasting in women that apparently we still need to do better busting that myth. But what you just said really sticks out to me. You eat more nutrients now in a 6-hour window than you did when you were eating all day long in the past.
Yeah, I used to come home from school, put my hand in the chips. Mm-hmm. I also have a different career now. So I work from home, and sometimes that is a little challenging to keep the fast,
right,
you know, going strong. But I shop or I run errands. That's what I do. I run errands sometimes during that last bit of that time. So I'm just not home.
Fasting has been really good for your health and really bad for your wallet.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. I know people like, I'm going to save a lot of money with fasting. I'm like, well, that's what you think. And then you're going to be, first of all, you're going to need a whole new wardrobe several times, and you're going to up the quality of your food. See, that's what's happened to me.
Yeah.
Food quality.
I was a food snob before, and I still am.
That's good. That's good. So you're eating nutrient dense food. You're cooking, you know, high quality food for your family. And a 6-hour eating window doesn't feel at all restrictive, does it?
No, not at all. No. But I know Claire, working her retail job, I would always try to influence her domestically, and she would just be picking up Subway and
right
fast food and even good food. She yeah. likes sushi. But she started in that very first time, you know, COVID hit. So,
right. I was wondering where the COVID would come in. Did y'all get to go on that vacation after all?
Well,
we did. We cut it short.
Yeah. I wouldn't really call it a vacation.
When you said it was February and you were going on a vacation in March, I was like, dun, dun, dun. So what happened? Yeah.
We made it there. My dad didn't get to go, but we went and we met my brother and his wife and his family in Arizona. And we were there 4 days maybe. And that was when we thought, oh, our airline's going to shut down. Are we even going to be able to get home? So it was kind of a half trip. But COVID was actually when I thrived with my fasting because I had just started it. And there were no temptations of, you know, going out to nice dinners or social plans. So a lot of people say they gained weight during COVID. That's when I was at my skinniest for sure.
That's amazing.
So you did meal delivery.
Yeah. I started
she
the meal kits.
Taught herself how to cook.
Yeah. So before
that's awesome.
I did not cook at all. And then as soon as I started the meal kit delivery service. I don't remember which one I think I used Martha and Marley Spoon initially, and I loved it. I did 3 meals or 4 meals a week, and that's really how I learned to cook. I was helpless before.
See, I love that so much, and I will have to say, I've said this before, but intermittent fasting changed my life the most, but meal delivery kits would be number two. Things other than people in my life. Because it's really made me learn to cook and get out of my comfort zone. And like my poor husband, Chad, when I was out of town, because I was gone for 5 nights. And then last night I got home really late, so I didn't cook. And he said, are you cooking tonight? And I'm like, yes. And you could just tell relief over his face.
Now cooking every night. I don't do the meal kits anymore. I'm now engaged and living with my fiance. And
oh, congratulations.
Thank you. It's 3 weeks. The ring is 3 weeks old. So
that's exciting.
It's pretty fresh. But we eat large portions. So for two of us, the meal kits weren't as economical as grocery shopping.
But, oh, I get it.
Yeah, but it was a great way to learn how to cook, try new recipes. I still saved all the cards of my favorite recipes and make them all the time. So.
Oh, and I got one of my sons, I've actually given them to both boys, but one of them will that lives here in town. I send him a box every week. And then something was going on. He was hanging around here a lot. So he brought the box over here and he was cooking. He didn't use the cards. I was like so proud of myself. Like I'm teaching my son how to cook with these cards. And I look over and he's just like throwing stuff in there. I'm like, what are you doing? So I was like, you've got to read the cards, son. But, you know, yeah, hopefully he will.
It's really important because I have tried to do that before and totally ruined the meal by doing something before I'm not supposed to do something else. So
yeah, like he was, you know, you have the onion and then you saute that first, right? And then he like put the liquid in and then threw the onion. And I'm like, no, stop. So we had to have a lesson on how to, you always saute the onion first. If you learn nothing else, learn that.
Yes.
Let's talk about, it sounds like to me, did any of you really need to lose substantial amounts of weight before? Mike, let me circle back to you. Did you, you know, you said you went on that trip to Virginia and you were uncomfortable, but were you overweight or just overly full and just needed something different?
I would say I was overweight, not grossly overweight, but through the initial fasting process of about 3 or 4 months, I lost 25 pounds and I think I've found my fighting weight. I think I've found the weight that my body is meant to be. And I haven't been on a scale in a long time. So I don't know I would guess I've gained some weight since that low point, but all of my clothes are still fitting that I bought once I got down to that weight. So for me, I've done a lot of distance running and things like that. And I could get down low, but I could never stay down low. Feel like this is probably where I'm meant to be.
That makes sense. You're at the weight. Your body has settled in at a weight that you don't need to micromanage. You don't need to stress about it. It just is where your body fluctuates within a range, but stays right there at that happy weight.
Correct. Yep.
And as far as your running, people all the time are asking about exercise. And when do you still do the distance running, I'm imagining? Do you run in the fasted state or after you eat or a combination of both?
Fasted state. So for me, if I don't get my workout in by 7 in the morning, it generally does not happen unless it's on the weekend. So I'll be at the gym lifting weights or running or doing something typically early in the morning. So that's fasted. And that doesn't sound like it be that big of a deal, but here in the Midwest and as good Scandinavians, we eat by the clock, not by our hunger. So the first thing I used to do was eat something and then go to the gym.
Right.
And now I don't even think about eating until later in the afternoon, and my workouts haven't missed a beat. I'm not deficient in any way.
So you haven't found that it's made your running slower or harder or your workouts harder?
No, my age has done that, but fasting
is. The reason I ask also, like I said, I was just at this conference and it was so interesting talking to people. You know, everyone has their niche, their thing that they know about. And so I was talking to someone, turns out her niche was exercise. She was an exercise person. She's like, oh, but I tell people never work out in the fasted state or never run in the fasted state. I'm like, that is so interesting because that is not what the fasting community is finding. But she was like, oh, but they're surely their performance isn't good. I'm like, I promise. I promise. So it's just funny to hear because that's why I wanted to make sure, you know, you're not finding any performance. And no one tells me that they do, but I think you just don't believe it till you experience it, right?
Well, it's so counterintuitive to everything we've always been taught that it just requires a certain belief. Well, let's experiment with this. And if it works, let's keep doing it. And I've never met anybody that has run that experiment that has felt undernourished in the process. They might not stick with it. They might not like it, but it's not because they feel like they're wasting away or they can't do it.
Exactly. The day that I, the, you know, the many days I didn't eat lunch, but the first day that I did eat lunch was the day I was the most tired. I'm like walking up the steps afterwards and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm like, why did I eat that lunch?
My parents did not. I always have regrets after it, but
I know
Mike and I are on the kind of the crazy scale. I mean, I would say there's maybe 5 days a year we don't work out. That's because we have an early plane flight somewhere.
So it's just an important thing that you've always done. You've always been very active.
I was doing Jane Fonda with my mom. And
oh my God, I love it.
Back in the 70s. So yeah.
Love it. Oh, I'm like picturing those outfits, the Jane Fonda outfits.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to me because I do not like working out at all.
I'm with you, Claire.
I really struggle. And I think that's the missing link for me to get to where I want to be, probably. Maybe not working out, just being more active.
More active. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've tried yoga, cycling, running, power walking. And it's not that I don't always enjoy it while I'm doing it, but I can't seem to stay consistent.
I get it. The motivation to keep up a consistent practice is just, my problem is I just get bored. And that might sound lame. I don't know.
I feel ya.
Is that kind of the same with you?
Like when I power walk, I'm like, you know, I listen to your podcast. I love your podcast. But for 45 minutes, like,
yeah,
that's just a long time in nature looking around for me. I'd rather be talking to someone or watching TV or reading.
Yeah. For me, the only thing that doesn't get boring like that is walking on the beach. That never gets boring because I also talk to people the whole time and like look at things and pick up shells. And I talk to literally everyone I pass. So it's kind of like social hour.
Yeah. See, I would like that.
Yeah. You got to come to the beach. We can walk on the beach. That would be fun.
Yeah. There's a reason she follows you, Jen.
Well, yeah, so one of the first things that I was like, in Delay Don't Deny, you talk about how you don't have, you know, you don't do concentrated exercise.
Right.
I was like, finally. I mean, I'm like the black sheep in my family because that is an ultra marathon runner. Nate, my other brother, is running a marathon next weekend. My dad does marathons and triathlons, and my mom has the most toned arms you've ever seen in your life. So I am just like the one out here that I just can't get into it.
It's just not your thing. I still use my vibration plate because like you, I like to watch TV while I'm doing it. So I'm like, I'm going to stay.
I need a vibration plate. I've thought about getting one.
I love it. If you go to jenstevens.com on the favorite things tab, I have a link to the one that I use now. Life Pro is the company and they're very affordable. I have the Turbo and they have fancier ones. I actually have two, but I still use the Turbo. Chad likes the fancier one. I like the Turbo. So,
do you feel like you're more toned for using it?
Yes.
Because I want to tune it for my wedding.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I do things with my arms. Like I'll hold my arms up in the air and like, you know, hold them certain ways. And I feel like it works the muscles. I also jump on my rebounder because that's also fun. And it's in the same place so I can do it while I'm watching TV. So I'll, you know, and you're young, Claire, but your mom and I both will understand good for your pelvic floor. Yes. As you get older, it becomes more important.
So. I know she's going to add to your Christmas list.
I just said that. I was going to say, Mom, I want a vibration plate for Christmas.
See, I would give her a hot yoga membership, but
I wouldn't use it.
She wants a vibration plate.
I love it. And look, Chad is like so anti-gimmick. He doesn't like, he gets on, he is more religious with the use of the vibration plate than I am. Like he gets on it every single night and it'll like two cycles. And I just, you know, might be, I don't do it every single day. I mean, I should, but he is just a lot more consistent with it. Like if I ever feel like I'm getting restless legs, the first thing I do is jump on the vibration plate. And that helps with that a lot. But I don't do it daily. But it's the only thing I've really, really been consistent with over time.
Makes sense to get mine. I will let you know how I like it.
Well, please do. I can't wait to hear it. But and by the time this comes out, you will have already had it because we're coming out in February. We're recording this in October, so it's still plenty of time for Christmas shopping.
So Mike has said he was down about 20 or 25 at the beginning.
Right.
For me, I'm about 10.
Okay. Which is about what you wanted to lose, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd always take more, but.
And how about you, Claire? How was your weight loss?
So I used like the app Happy Scale pretty religiously in the beginning. So I have data for definitely a full year. And when I started, I was 153 and I am 5'5". So a little overweight, not a lot.
Right.
But I didn't feel great. I know I had been higher before that, though, probably right. in the 160s at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started, I was at 153. And within like a week, I lost 8 pounds of water weight. Like I was at like 155, which is kind of ironic because that is back where I am. But I'll continue with that. So that it was super quick. I probably lost a pound a week, some weeks even more than that. And I was at 132, 133 by midsummer, and I started in February. So it was pretty effortless. I was eating whatever.
Drinking whatever.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That is still in my regimen. So yeah, it was effortless. The lowest number I saw was 132.9. I never saw anything lower than that.
And you know what? My scale did the same to me. Like it would always be like 130.2. And I was like, I just want to see a two. I want to see a two.
I really wanted to get down to 130. That was, and for a while I was like, shoot, I might get to like 125. That's just effortless. It's just falling off me. Like, wow, everyone go do this. And then I would say I settled into like a happy spot of like 136, 137,
okay.
probably between 136 and 138. That was like my happy spot when I lived in Michigan and worked retail.
Right.
And that was not working out. That was eating whatever I want.
Right.
And, you know, I do appreciate good food, though. It's not like I was just eating McDonald's every day or anything like that. But, you know, having my wine and dessert and a nice meal and eating whatever portions I wanted. But if I look back at my Apple Watch data at that time, I was also averaging 14,000 steps a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not attribute any weight loss to that. But now that I live back in Iowa and I work from home and I'm a buyer and I sit most of my day, the weight started creeping back up.
That makes sense.
And then it feels different. Not, you know, my window's the same. If anything, I might be fasting longer. I probably fast 21 to 22 hours during the week, you know, still cook good dinners, but I am just not moving like I was before.
Yeah.
So I live between 145 and 147 now. I would love to be around like 140. I feel like that's probably a really good happy medium.
Right.
But I did try on some honesty pants, and I took photos last week in preparation for this podcast just to like see. And I cannot tell a big difference between 137 and 145.
Okay.
Body.
So your body, you may have built some muscle even.
Well, let's just call it that.
Well, let's call it that. If your pants are still fitting, the honesty pants, that's important. You know, if the pants, would know.
All my small clothes fit. I got a bunch of tiny clothes because I probably went from like a size 10 to a size 6, sometimes even a 4, and all those clothes fit. So if anything, it's probably a little in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I sent you the pictures, Mom, not to put you in the hot seat, but could you tell a big difference?
Yeah, well, I don't weigh myself very often. Again, Mike and Claire tend to be more less moderate, and they like need to see a number. And but yeah, I always know by the way my clothes fit.
Right. Me too.
And so when she was a little upset because she stepped on the scale
For the first like a couple like a month ago, maybe. Well,
but I can't believe, you know, your clothes fit. How do you feel? So yeah, her pictures did not depict 10 pounds because usually if 10 pounds, I'm not wearing the same pair of pants.
Right. Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah.
I also put a picture of like my 153 and then my 145 and my 137. And I look much more like my 137 than my 153. So
It's
just interesting what body recomposition can do. All my clothes fit. I did have a meltdown when I stepped on the scale for the first time in months, but I didn't want to step on the scale because I knew like, oh, I'm sitting all day.
Yeah. You had a feeling.
Yeah, I had a feeling, but yet my clothes still fit. So
I get it.
I know I can tweak things, but I really don't want to give up my wine.
Right.
And I don't work out. So it's all things that I know I can do. I just have not put into action.
But now you've got the wedding coming up.
I know.
How long do you have? What have you, set a date yet?
No, June 3rd.
Okay. Awesome.
So a little less than 8 months away. So I did get a stand-up desk about a month ago, and I feel like I already feel better. Just like
good.
I sleep better at night and everything, because I'm just not sitting all day long. But now it's probably time to take the next step and like go back to like walking an hour every day or something like that. But
and see what the vibration plate does. Hold some weights while you're on there. I do have weights. And sometimes if I'm really wanting to make my arms to be a little, you know, I'll hold weights while I'm standing on the vibration plate.
I keep a pair of 8-pound weights right by my desk. And mm-hmm. every single day I do some curls and then over the head. I know it sounds so funny. I'm just at my stand-up desk, but my like that's the biggest thing I want for my wedding is like really good arms.
Oh,
I want your arms. Like, seriously.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about health benefits, health victories. What has anybody seen? Mike, have you seen any differences there?
I would say generally my stamina is better during the day at work. I'm typically a pretty good sleeper. I would mm-hmm. say I probably sleep better. And certainly my workouts haven't suffered at all. I'd say those are the big things for me.
So you didn't have any major health concerns going on. You were healthy. You're active.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an executive physical shortly after I started fasting. It was coincidental. So my cholesterol has been high-ish or maybe a little over the mark. So it's something we're paying attention to. And at that executive physical I had a few months into fasting, my cholesterol had dropped pretty significantly. And I don't know if that's attributed to as much my food choices or fasting, but it was significantly better.
Well, that's awesome. We do hear often when people are losing the fat in early in the process, as they're burning fat, they may have temporarily elevated cholesterol. So, but over time, as you settle in, we find that cholesterol tends to go down. So there's like often like an alarming rise for a period of time, and then it goes back down and settles and is healthy and normal. So it's good that you didn't see that happen. So how about you, Anne? Anything with your health specifically?
No, I mean, Mike and I are both healthy. We take an over 50 multivitamin every day.
That's probably the only medication.
That's it.
Yeah.
But cholesterol, probably 10 months into fasting, was not lower. And then this past year, 18 months into it, it was down 23 points.
Awesome. That makes sense.
And, and I will add, our oldest son's family lived with us for 2 months and they're vegan. So part of me thought, maybe it's some of that too, but I'll take it regardless of how it happened.
So when they were there living with y'all for 2 months, did you do all the cooking vegan?
Yes. Yep. I mean, we probably had half a dozen times where we put Beyond Burgers on the grill for them and we had, real hamburgers, mm-hmm. but day in and day out, for the most part, one of Mike's routines is he leaves for work every day with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and an apple. That's how he window. But yeah, for me, there was just all those plant-based foods around and I just ate like the kids ate. I just didn't eat as soon as they did.
Okay, that makes sense. So your window now, you're about a 6-hour window.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really concentrate more on the fast mm-hmm. than the window. Yeah. I just try to not eat for as long as that will be. And then, shut it down whenever that is.
Once
that
it's open, sense. You're like watching the clock.
Yes. I don't really watch it too much, but I do in the sense of I don't want it have to be 5 p.m. before I can have something the next day. So
that makes sense. And really, I love that everybody has a rhythm that feels right to them and they track what feels right to them. Like for me, I tracked my eating window. It didn't matter when I had it, I would slide it around, but I tried to make sure my eating window didn't go past 5 hours. That was early on, when I was working on losing weight. But I never really calculated the fast. But for some people, it's the fast that they want to track. And sometimes people will ask, what's better? I'm like, well, which one feels better? Do that one.
Yeah. And we all use the Zero app.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I really like that.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever not use the app. I don't know. It just keeps me accountable.
Yep. A lot of people love using an app just for that exact reason. You know, Sherry, who's my Life Lessons co-host and a really good friend, she'll go through periods where she'll stop using an app for a while, but then she always brings it back out because with her, she has a crazy schedule. She works shift work in the hospital, but she just finds that she needs the app even this many years in. So there's really, again, like with whether you track your fast or whether you track your window, using an app or not, there is no right or wrong answer. But y'all are all zero users.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And just the free version. Like I think I went to the premium for a little bit just to see, but you really don't need to spend money. It's another great thing about fasting.
I love it. So what's the difference between the free and the premium? Like what can you track on it?
So the premium, you can do custom fasting windows, whereas the free version, you have to stick to like a 16:8, 18:6, 24.
Okay.
So you can like set a 19:5. Like they don't have any odd numbers, which is annoying.
But that is weird. That is so funny. And
it's probably because 19:5 is like such a great window. And so they want to make all these people pay to get it.
Maybe that could be it.
Because initially, yeah, that's why I did it. And then they also have different graphs that can track, you know, your weight versus fasting time and things like that. But nothing that you need, that's for sure.
And I'm like, oh, I would need the premium. But I haven't tracked for a long time. I never upgraded my window app that Cal made me because I have all my apps set to not automatically update. And so I still have the way old version from back when Cal made it and then he sold it. And so people are still always asking me about it. I'm like, that is not us anymore. And I'm sorry. But I liked it better when it was Cal's. But I still, there was a Bob's, you know, he's my boy. I feel very like that's like, you know, like maternal about that app. But there was a period of time in the pandemic when things started to feel crazy. Maybe in, I don't know, was it May or June of the pandemic? Well, I'm like, I just need to track on this app again. And I did it for a short time and it just helped me to feel a little more accountable. So even, you know, for people who think they don't need the app anymore, there may be a season where you pull that sucker back out.
Exactly. Yep. Gives a sense of control.
Well, I felt like maybe that was it. Everything else was out of control. And I needed just to have something that was in control. Absolutely. So it sounds like y'all are sharers. You share intermittent fasting with others. Is that right?
I'm the ultimate sharer. But
yeah. I mean, Claire could have a talk show. She really
is. I love it. Tell me about that, Claire.
I just, right away, I was like, you know, I'm a chatty Cathy, so I it was not a secret what I was doing. I told all my friends, and I didn't have many friends in Michigan. So when we'd have our FaceTime happy hours with hometown friends, I just told everyone right away. And then we would joke, my mom would come up and visit me in Michigan and bring her sister or a family friend. And we would giggle, like, little do they know, we're going to starve them this weekend.
It happened twice. I took a friend with me, and then I took my sister. And neither one was, you know, a big, it wasn't intentional, but it was like, hey, we're doing this thing, and you don't have to do it with us, but we aren't eating till dinner.
Right.
Love it.
The outsider doesn't want to be the one to go get lunch. And then now both of them do fasting, maybe not to our extreme levels, but both of them continued it when they got home. So
I love that.
To be on the fasting fast track, just spend a weekend with me and my mom.
Yeah, I get it. I have friends, some college friends, and we've gotten together a few times, and they're actually coming to stay at my beach house at the end of October. We're going to get together again. And we, you know, two of us are like official intermittent fasters out of the five of us. And the other three kind of go along with us while we're at the beach and kind of do it a little bit here and there. Of course, maybe one of them was really interested and hadn't really done any of it. And I gave her a copy of Fast, Feast, Repeat and sent it home with her. So maybe she's started doing it since then.
Maybe by this trip, she'll be on board.
I hope so. Because there's really no better feeling than knowing that you're helping other people change their lives as well. At least that's how it feels to me.
Agreed. So I would say for me, so my workouts happen in the morning and my work life typically involves lunch with somebody, coffee with somebody, and then cocktails with somebody.
Right.
And when the pandemic happened, that really helped me to not have to explain any of that because nobody was doing any of those things. So now, since that is moderated, I'll usually not have lunch with somebody, although occasionally I will. And then a lot of my socials tend to be toward the end of the day. And that has prompted then the conversation, hey, what's going on with you? Or I'll try and meet somebody for a late lunch. And so it comes up. I don't pop people in the forehead with it. But if they ask, I'll certainly let them know. Or if I'm not eating, I'll certainly let them know. And it leads to good inquiry, good conversation.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Yeah, it really, really does. People are very intrigued by it because at this point, most people have heard of it, right? Are you finding that to be true?
Yeah.
Or not?
Yes.
No, yeah. I've never had someone say, oh, I've never heard. People usually say, oh, 16-8. And yeah. Then I'm like, well, that is one way you can do it. And then I tell them what I do and they say, you're sick.
someone said that to me, not that I was sick, but someone at the conference said, they were talking about, you know, I was like, we were talking about women of the, that came up. And I said, well, the misconception is that, you know, women should not do fasting because people have the mistaken idea that fasting means over restriction or it's a restrictive way of living. But I bet you don't live it in a restrictive way, right?
No, not at all. I feel like I indulge, if anything, because I do this.
So. Exactly.
So I was in New York for a work trip about a month ago, and you know, we're meeting with vendors all day and they usually order you lunch. And I had lunch a couple of the days, but most of the days I didn't. And people would obviously ask what I'm doing and just said, well, just wait till dinner. Wait till you see me at dinner and then you'll take back what you said about.
Exactly. So someone actually said, you know, what do you do? And I said, well, 19.5 is a good, you know, that feels good for me. And they're like, oh man, that's very restrictive. I'm like, I promise you it's not. The way my 5-hour looks is no, I guarantee I eat more during a 5-hour window than a woman who is, quote, watching her weight eats all day long put together.
Oh, same. Yeah. I feel like when people say you don't eat enough, it's like, oh, I think I probably eat more than you do in my 2 to 3 hours. So
probably so.
Just watch me.
Absolutely. Love it. And one day I didn't eat lunch because the food wasn't window worthy. But I mean, the food was great. Don't get me wrong. The resort had amazing food, but it wasn't what I wanted. There was like a fish and y'all know I don't eat fish, right? And it was like the same vegetables we'd had the night before, kind of. And I was like, I just don't feel like that right now. I'll just wait and I'll eat later. And so we were having like special breakout lunches where people set by eating style. And so I sat at the keto/intermittent fasting table. But I was the only one who fasted. So that was kind of...
I love how there's a table for intermittent fasters. That's well, amazing.
It was, they put it with keto. So I guess I don't know if it was because... they think that everyone who does intermittent fasting is also keto, which, you know, that was kind of a misconception for a while, that you had to do both together. So I don't know if that was it, or was it because they understand it so well, they know that fasting leads to ketosis. I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But everyone else had lunch. I was like, I'll just eat later. But it was funny about, you know, several hours after lunch, my body said, oop, time to eat. So I was like worn out. So I just went and had a meal by myself in the restaurant. And it was amazing.
I used to do that all the time when I lived in Michigan, right? Especially right when I started fasting, I would get off of work and I would take myself to a nice restaurant. I'd sit at the bar and order an appetizer and a salad and a meal. And
yeah,
I love eating alone in a restaurant with a good book.
Yeah. And you know, I don't feel uncomfortable doing that either. And if I actually needed some time away because I'd been with people all day. I'm one of those people that is like an extrovert and loves people. Then I'm like, all right, now I'm peopled out. Do you get like that too? Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'm peopled out. I'm going to go eat a meal all by myself at the restaurant.
Yes. And just enjoy not talking for a little bit.
Yeah, that was exactly it. And it was delicious. And also, all the food at the conference was gluten-free and dairy-free. And I am not knocking dairy-free or gluten-free. JJ Virgin puts on this conference. Do y'all know who that is? She's like a health and wellness person. The Virgin Diet. Have you heard of that one? Do you remember that one?
No.
I followed it back in the day, but it's an elimination protocol. But JJ feels better gluten-free, dairy-free, and sugar-free. So all the food was dairy-free, gluten-free, sugar-free. So I went and had like a quesadilla and like a salad with cheese on it. Yeah, I was like, all right, I'm having all my gluten and my dairy that I've been missing.
I would miss it for sure. We haven't talked much about food, but I don't restrict anything. Mm-hmm. Really, none of us do. We eat all the gluten, dairy, meat, and everything.
Well, it doesn't make me feel bad. I mean, I know that 100%. You know, I've done the elimination protocols, and I did not ever notice eliminating and reintroducing to cause me any problems. So, I mean, I 100% know that some people need to because they feel better without it, but it's just not me. Thank you, Irish Heritage. I'm just going to go with that. Yeah. Having the dairy. I'm pretty sure my family, maybe they were dairy farmers back over there. I don't know. So y'all eat all the foods. You can be vegan if you need to be, but then you can have the everything else as well.
I mean, we all eat all the things. I usually open my window. I try and open with Whole Foods, clean-ish foods.
Right.
I'm very excited for your next book.
Oh, I am too.
So yeah, usually veggies, and I love hummus. I can go through a tub of hummus in 3 days. So usually veggies and hummus and some pita chips. And then for dinner, you know, I eat a variety of things. Last night I cooked drunken noodle pasta with shrimp, and we have chili on the menu this week and pork tenderloin. So I eat everything. I know you guys do too.
Yeah, we do.
Yep.
That sounds amazing. And by the way, my problem with hummus is that container is like one serving.
Yeah. I load the cucumbers up, the chips up. I just love hummus.
I love hummus too. Have you noticed your tastes in food changing, any of you, over the course of intermittent fasting, or it's just still pretty much the same?
Like, yeah, I think mine's pretty much the same.
Okay. Yeah, like I love, you know, junk food still and healthier food, but like my mom said, I also probably eat more nutritious food now because I actually eat a healthy snack or healthy-ish snack every day. Whereas before I was just eating, you know, a lunch out at a restaurant and then dinner. Like I was not a snacker at all. So I feel like I'm probably getting more fruits and vegetables now than I was before. And I also didn't like love hummus before fasting. And now I cannot get enough of hummus.
Like I'm crazy for hummus.
I must be crazy for chickpeas. I don't know.
Oh, me too. Oh, I have this chickpea cookie dough that you can eat raw if you want to. And it is so good. I also
love beans. I love beans. Mm-hmm. I love hummus.
Well, would you say you weren't ever a big dessert person, and now you tend to like that more?
I need something sweet every day now.
Your fiance too.
Yeah. Which, by the way, he is now a faster.
Yay! So he was not a faster before.
Oh no, he was a breakfast, lunch, and dinner guy, and now he waits till 3 o'clock.
Love it.
He doesn't track his window at all. He just says he waits till 3 every day, and he is pretty religious about it. So
my brother is I didn't even realize he was so strict with it until we were at the beach this summer all together, and my sister-in-law was telling me how he will not eat till 5. He just is like 5 o'clock, bam, he will not. But then he is like expecting dinner on the table at like 5:01.
Well, some nights, you know, we'll close our window early. And so the next day I'll be like, hey, you know, you said you were hungry. Do you want me to make you lunch or something? And he's like, I can't eat till 3. I'm like, yeah, but you close at 6:30. I don't think you understand it. It can be different every day. He's like, no, I just don't eat till 3. I'm like, all right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, everybody's got to have their way of looking at it. If he's a rules guy. He's like, nope.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is my role. That was when I was in Arizona and I had lunch the couple days that I did. It was because I realized that was like 3 p.m. for me. I'm like, I'm feeling a little hungry. I'm like, wait a minute. It's 3 p.m. in my brain. I can eat lunch if I want. But then I was eating, I guess, in the middle of the night. Dinner was like really, really, really late those nights in my time change brain. Is there anything that we've been kind of going all around? Is there anything that you wanted to tell me that you haven't gotten to tell me? Because I know I've talked to each of you sporadically. any parts of your story that I've missed that you think are important?
Well, I'll go first.
Okay.
It's been fantastic for me as somebody who's, I've been on diets my whole life, so I feel like I've done everything and this is so easy to sustain. And I've also just gotten some random compliments lately. Somebody from church called me up and said, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, because you just look so healthy and good, right?
Yeah. So anyway, of course, I know when I'm in the right spot, but it must be noticeable to other people too.
So Anne's 54, I'm 53, and we tell people we haven't peaked yet. We're still climbing.
Yeah.
We're still on the ascent. She does have a different glow about her, and I'll occasionally get people lean into me and ask me what I'm up to or what I'm doing, because we're still pretty fit and feeling pretty well for our ages. And I think fasting is part of that.
Absolutely. I plan to age really, really well. And I love when people are shocked that I'm 52. That's like my favorite thing to say. Yeah. I'm 52. And they're like, what?
I would also say that I've been an athlete, runner for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I've heard the expression more than once that says you can't outrun your fork. And I always thought that meant you can't out-exercise bad food choices. And that's certainly one way to take it. I think of fasting differently. I think you can outrun your fork if you just eat in a small window.
Right.
Or in other words, your fitness doesn't need to overcome that. It's not the amount that you eat. It's over the amount of time that you eat it. And so for me, that's what I'll tell people, that, hey, you can't outrun your fork, but boy, you can sure do this, and you don't really have to.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. There's a study, and I'm just going to paraphrase it here because I haven't read it recently, but it was mice, and they were fed like a really bad diet. But with the fasting, they had even with the bad diet, they had amazing health benefits. Now, if you couple fasting with an amazing diet and nutritious foods, obviously that's ideal and the win-win. But yeah, the fasting is really a great place for everyone to start. And then over time, you can figure out the nutrition part of it as your body directs you.
Definitely. I feel like for me, what makes us unique in my story too is just, we didn't come to fasting with a lot of weight to lose.
You know,
we're not one of the stories that we lost 100 pounds or anything like that. But the way we look and feel is so much different. And I would just tell people, you don't have to be super overweight to come to fasting. I think a lot of people don't feel their best, but they don't have a ton of weight to lose, so they think doing this would be crazy.
Right.
But maybe you have no weight to lose or 5 pounds or 10 pounds, but the way you can look and feel in 5 or 10 pounds of fasting is a whole lot different than just working out or starving yourself or being on a restrictive diet. So
that is absolutely true.
You don't have to be in like a super unhealthy place, I guess.
We're almost out of time, and there are three of you. So I'm going to give you each about a minute. So I will start with you, Claire. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Read Delay, Don't Deny, or Fast, Please, Repeat. I read Delay, Don't Deny, so I kind of have a soft spot in my heart.
Thank you.
Because I just think it's very simple. You can read it super quick. So I think that's a great starter book. Listen to your podcast and don't let the concept stop you before giving it a try.
I think that's huge. It just sounds scary.
It sounds a lot scarier than it is. Yeah.
So how about you, Anne?
Well, she took my answer. Oh. I was going to say read the book. I'm very much a people pleaser. So if I'm greeted with, oh, that's weird, or you starve yourself, I just put it on the book. But I'm doing things now that I never used to do before. So I make cookies probably about every 10 days. And I used to have the cookie after it baked and try the cookie dough. And
right.
The fact that I can do all that I do in the kitchen and not consume a calorie and still enjoy it later, I never thought that would happen.
That is delay, don't deny, in action, right?
Yeah. Isn't there a phrase about you can tell you know, how the food will taste by how the cook looks. So I want to really surprise people that
way. There you go. I love that. So how about you, Mike?
What I would tell somebody is just start. There's no downside. It doesn't cost anything. It's not password protected.
Perfect.
Clean fast. So black coffee, water, or tea, and just try. And it's amazing with a very modest amount of sort of willpower. It's not a heavy lift, but just start. There's absolutely nothing to lose and a whole world of opportunity to find.
Well, that is fantastic. And on that note, I will say goodbye, but thank y'all for being here. I have so enjoyed having the three of you.
Yes, thank you.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying,
lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.